completely on the other end of the scale, almost. Mussels. Mussels live in the sea. I like eating them. And as well as making a tasty meal, mussels have actually provided the inspiration for a new generation of polymers. Mussels can attach to virtually any surface, including things like Teflon, which is allegedly completely non-stick. And they do this by producing molecules called amino acids that form strong bonds with the surface that the mussel's sitting on. And one of these amino acids is dopamine, and that's a chemical that's usually used to send signals within our brains and the brains of other animals.
It's the brain's pleasure chemical, isn't it?
Exactly. But mussels use it as a sticky chemical because they don't have brains. I guess they've got to do something with it. Anyway, writing in this week's edition of the journal Science, researchers led by Philip Messersmith have taken a tip from these clever bivalves, and they use dopamine to form thin films on surfaces like metals, glass and ceramics. And the technique simply involves you dip your surface in a solution of dopamine at the same acidity level as seawater, and it spontaneously forms a thin polymer layer after a couple of hours. And then you can use this film to attach other chemicals and other molecules onto your original surface.
So what sorts of things are they sticking to, and what can they stick with?
Well, you can actually use this for metal plating. You can stick metals onto plastic. So, for example, you could build up a flexible plastic metal-plated thing. So you could use that for flexible electrical components. Or you can develop paints that don't pick up dirt because they're non-stick. And also, you can actually attract biological molecules with this dopamine coating. So you could actually make medical implants that maybe kill bacteria or release chemicals.
It sounds really interesting because the concept of being able to electroplate plastic and just make electrically conductive plastic in itself is amazing, because you can think of all of the things you could make. At the moment, you have to use very complicated to work with materials to make conducting surfaces.
Electric
and microchips
trousers,
and things.
All sorts of
things. Well, yeah, PVC,
that's
conductive PVC. That would be good in your book.
Electric trousers, yeah.
Anyway, sticking with the very small, scientists have actually uncovered a very exciting mechanism by which the body spits out and gets rid of viruses. Now, the group of researchers in particular, they're led by Michael David, he's at UCSD over in the States, have been looking at hepatitis C. Now, hepatitis C is a major problem. It affects about 1% of the population of the Western world, but it can be as high as 10% of the population in some countries. And why it's a problem is it's a blood-borne virus, so needle sharing, blood transfusions, if you have needle stick injuries, and ear piercings even can spread it. Once you've got it, about 80% of the time, it becomes chronic. That is, you can have it for a very long time. And in the course of having this chronic infection, it continuously injures the liver and can cause cirrhosis.
Can lead to cancer as well.
It can cause cancer in about 5% of people who have it. And Anita Roddick famously caught it from a blood transfusion. And Pamela Anderson has also said to have had this. And she reckons she caught it from a tattoo needle. So it can be caught. It is common. It is out there. We know from medicine now that about half of people who have it, if they're given one of the body's own signalling hormones called interferon in high doses, in 6 months you can cure about 50% of people. They'll clear the virus. But no one has a clue how it works. And so this research group decided to try and solve the puzzle. And they wondered whether it could be down to a thing that's recently been discovered, which is a phenomenon called microRNAs. Now, inside each of our cells is obviously the DNA, which has got our genes written into it, but also in the cells is a small population of nucleic acids called microRNAs. And these are very short sequences of genetic material, and unlike DNA, which is two chains stuck together, these are just one single chain. And what they do is cruise around inside the cell, and if they come across another message, a genetic message, which is the mirror image of theirs, they can lock onto it and inactivate it. So what the researchers wondered was whether interferon switches on some of these microRNAs that then are complementary or inactivate hepatitis C.
And do they?
So, well, that's what they did. They got some cells in the dish, put a lot of interferon onto the cells, and then looked which of their microRNAs were turned on. And they found about 30 microRNAs that had very high levels after they did this. And then when they compared the sequences, the genetic sequence of those microRNAs with the genetic sequence of hepatitis C, 8 of them were an exact match. So this suggests that what's happening in cells that have been infected with hepatitis C in a person, when you give them interferon, it pushes up the levels of these things in their body, and this turns down the level of hepatitis C. And to prove that, they infected some cells with hepatitis C in a dish. They then added synthetic versions of these microRNAs, and they were able to reduce the level of hep C by 70% in the dish. And so this gives us a whole new bunch of targets to try and aim at, to try and treat hepatitis C in future. So not only have they solved how interferon works, which we never knew before, may also help us solve a major problem that causes liver disease.
That's really interesting, because that's just starting to come through in clinical trials, actually, this kind of RNA-type treatment. It's still very early stage, but potentially that kind of thing is really exciting, potentially treatments for humans. Anyway, it's become traditional that Dr. Chris nips to the little boys' room 5 minutes before every show, all the time.
No comment.
It's true. But scientists in Belgium have found a gene that actually may be partly responsible for his urge to go and spend a penny. Normally, when our bladder gets full, then this sends signals to the muscles around it, telling them to contract, meaning that you have to go to the toilet. Now, Bernd Nilius and his team have found out that a gene called TRPV4 is faulty in mice. And when it's faulty, they become incontinent. And this means that they no longer have this level of control over their bladder muscles, and so they just kind of go all the time. And the researchers looked at bladders taken from mice with the faulty gene and found that they sent sort of smaller chemical signals that tell the muscles to contract compared with a bladder bladders from mice with an intact version of the gene. So kind of they're not sending the signal that the bladder's full, and instead you've just got it leaking all the time.
So is this relevant to humans who have incontinence problems?
Well, they think it is. Now, TRPV4 gene, it makes a protein that sits in the wall of cells that line the bladder and sends signals to the bladder that tells the muscles to contract. And the researchers think that this has a really important role in translating these signals that allow a controlled trip to the loo. And although these are just experiments in mice, there's the possibility that in humans it could be a good target for people who maybe have incontinence problems, so potentially for drugs or that kind of therapy in the future.
Well, let's hope so, because it's pretty miserable if you do suffer with that. So
exactly.
Let's hope that they do make some progress in that direction.